coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, as always, Coach Steve. On today's episode, guys, we are talking quarterback tiers. And first up, let me introduce our crew for today. No Coach John. He's got some Hennessy trying tonight or something. His job is amazing. He's like, Jim's excited. Yeah, John's doing Hennessy tryouts like he did a couple weeks ago with tequila. He's got a great job to his life. He's like the Justice League animation back in the day, but Batman. He was a part-timer. That's what John is to us at this point. But we always have Coach Jibs on the show. What's going on, Jibs?
I'm out, man. I'm getting that plane ticket to Florida real quick.
we want to have that life that John has, to being being what he does for his living. But he'll be back eventually, guys, and probably Thursday. So, of course, we do have a guest on the show tonight. It worked out perfectly for us. We have Joe. What's going on, Joe? How's everything going?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, man, Jibs, I'm with you, man. We ain't doing this right. like, what's going on, man?
Ship was a bottle when you listen, John. I wish I was here with you guys. I'm like, no, we wish we were man. We definitely rather be tasting some Hennessy tonight than
right?
Fantasy. I mean, I got espresso. That's
this is a close second, I guess, right?
It's a close second. So, Joe, before we get started, then I'll let everyone know kind of, you know, you what you do in the industry.
Yeah, man. So I am the founder of FantasySixPack.net. So we do everything, man. We do, of course, fantasy football. That's why I'm here. We do baseball, hockey, basketball. We do golf, some DFS betting, do a whole bunch of stuff. We got a podcast network over here on YouTube as well. And then, of course, new this year, the big thing is, you know, we've got a subscription model. We got some plans. So right now we got rankings. We got a draft cheat sheet. We've got our Discord channel projections. We're going to put some other stuff behind it. So you guys can use promo code F6P early to get 25% off of those. And it's on the website. Just check those out. So we are looking forward to meeting everybody who jumps into that Discord channel.
Awesome. So, guys, check it out. Sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
All right, so like I said, guys, we're talking quarterback tiers today. But before we get to that part of the news, of course, that part of our segment tonight, we do have to talk about some news. So there's a couple things just to quickly mention and go over. So we'll get into that real quick. All right, so let's get into our first set of news here. Tyquan Thornton, rookie wide receiver for the New England Patriots, broke the collarbone. Typically, it's a normal 8 to 12 week injury here, so he can't go on the pump list because he needs to be on the active roster to start the season. So that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that, if they put him on the IR or whatnot. But definitely a big blow early on to the young rookie wide receiver. Kenyon Drake is expected to be cut by the Las Vegas Raiders today unless they find a trade partner in the next few hours. Isaiah Spiller might miss week one due to his ankle injury, and Josh Palmer is in the concussion protocol right now. Again, nothing too crazy news related, honestly, for me personally. I don't know if anything sticks out to you guys or not. It might really not for a redraft right now.
Not for me.
Not for you. All right. Again, there wasn't. Isaiah Spiller might drop down my round board a little bit right now just because of that, but he's still a good late round pick, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't think anybody was really drafting Drake, but I know Zamir White was always kind of like in my radar. I wasn't drafting him either, but now it makes him just that much more interesting, right? So that would be the only other thing. Like, I wasn't really expecting Drake to be cut.
I wasn't expecting it there. I'm definitely surprised. I mean, possibly in deeper PPR leagues, Amir Abdullah or Brandon Bolden might have value now. It's like pulling out strings. If we're going that deep in your drafts, maybe if you're in a 16-man league in PPR, like in that situation. But, yeah, I mean, Zamir White would probably have the bulk of the work if something happens to Josh Jacobs. So he might be a good last-round flyer to take on just in case that were to happen. So, but yeah, again, the news isn't too crazy this week. It's more if you're in Dynasty, if you're playing with some of these players, obviously, like how your teams are. So, all right, let's get into the main topic today, guys. We are talking quarterback tiers now. And then, of course, these are my tiers, guys, so please go as easy as possible. Not do it. Say whatever you guys want. I don't care. So these are my tier one tiers, the elite six. And this six involves Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Kyler Murray. These are my more likely to finish top five, maybe top three if I'm really thinking about it overall. Likely these players are going in your top six, seven rounds of your normal drafts, if depending if who you play with. But how do you guys feel about this tier? Should someone not be in it? Should someone be in it? Am I missing someone? Or should? How do you guys feel?
I'll let Joe go first.
So I'll be honest with you. I actually kind of have this tier broken into two. I've got Allen, Herbert, and then like a Mahomes, Jackson flip-flop actually as like my top three. And then it's a break there. So really, I guess maybe you just lump those four together. And then it's a break to me. You know, you jump into the Burrows, the Murrays, the Hurts, you know, those types in the next tier. But that I think if I'm looking at this, I wouldn't put Burrow and Murray with the top four.
I respect it.
Yeah, and Burrow is the one that kind of stood out to me. Like, I just know, like, he has a prolific offense by all means, but he doesn't have some of the rushing ability. And sure, he's going to have to score a lot of touchdowns and all that just to have just the same upside as some of the rushing quarterbacks. So if one of them gets hurt, sure, you could bump him up there. But I don't think – like, I think top five could be, like – I think five is like, upside right there. That's where it's going to end.
Right, and I'm glad you guys brought that up overall, because I feel like there are people out there, again, who believe that Joe Burrow is one of those elite quarterbacks because of how well he played last year and his offense that he's in, that I think it's nice to let people know that you might want to pump the brakes on him being part of that elite group of fantasy quarterbacks right now. So I'm glad you guys brought Joe Burrow's name up here. So was that one of my questions? I even forget. I've done these questions so long ago. Oh, okay. I guess that makes my first question pretty easy. Who's most likely to fall out of this top group here? I'm assuming it's Joe Burrow pretty easily, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just hit it right on the head. I mean, it's the lack of the rushing floor that he doesn't have compared to the other ones. I mean, like, Mahomes doesn't, like, run, not even like Herbert, you know, not even like Jackson, doesn't even really run as much as like Herbert does. But he's just – he feels safer to where Burrow, like, he came on really strong at the end of last year. And, of course, there is that, you know, slight recency bias of, hey, he led his team to the Super Bowl. So I think that, you know, there is a little inflation there with that. He's a very good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He was one of the best quarterbacks down the stretch last season. But you do worry with the lack of the rushing floor. And, honestly, I mean, like, Murray probably would have passed him and had him in fantasy points last year had it not been for, or he did actually, but even going down the stretch, had it not been for injuries and stuff like that. So there's even another guy who I think you're going to get into later who you could argue could still be ahead of him.
Yeah, there's definitely a guy or two that we might be able to put in this tier at some point, maybe during the season. So Jibs, I guess a similar answer to obviously Joe Burrow as well.
Yeah, Burrow for me, and then Murray when Call of Duty drops. So.
When does that happen again so people know?
No, it's probably in November. It always comes out the second week of November, like the 12th, I mean, or something.
That's kind of how Kingsbury's offense goes. I mean, late season, his team falls apart. I mean, he's only had Kyle Murray really for the most part. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense on that note. So, all right. So let's go back to the next tier here. Like I said, this tier is pretty self-explanatory. These are the top tier guys if you want to take them. I mean, how early are you guys willing to take any quarterback just in general? I guess if Josh Allen's considered the top guy, how early are you willing to take him?
I'm not getting him because he's going in like the second round, early third round in most drafts. Like if he were to fall an extra round, I might pull the trigger on him. I've been sort of waiting on quarterback, hoping that I kind of, you know, I'm happy to take one of the last rushing quarterbacks, and there's a couple more that aren't on this tier list that they've been slipping, although I think recently they're starting to climb up a little bit again. or finally. But like, honestly, if I miss for them, I'm just waiting for the last, like, I'll even take QB 14 because they're just as good as QB 10 at that point. It's kind of my draft strategy with QBs this year.
That's a good point. For Josh Allen, I think like if I'm in a 12 team league and I'm picking, say at the end, like pick 12 or 11, and I don't like what I'm seeing at pick 36, like, or on the, I'll just say round three because we're never going to get him round four. So in a round three, I think that would be like my limit. But just like Joe, I'm not taking quarterbacks that early. I'd rather kind of build my depth and my team and my roster and then kind of pick one when it falls to me or see how the draft board plays out. But I'm not going to go out and aggressively go get Allen. He's worth it, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a great quarterback. It's definitely – you got to play the strategy of your board, honestly, overall. I mean, yeah, Gibbs is like end of round three, beginning of round four. If you have a late pick, it doesn't sound terrible. Again, I think we all would rather wait if we can, but if you guys do that, you know, Stephon Diggs, early round two, you know, Josh Allen, end of round four, whatever, beginning of round four, it's not a bad stack to have, but you got to really play your board and see kind of what goes for. But waiting on quarterbacks always seems to be a better option. So, but don't wait too long. Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen some of these bottom tier quarterbacks like reach the high levels of the Winstons and Mahomes like 3 or 4 years ago. In my opinion, I feel like we really haven't had that deep late round quarterback really come through the last few seasons. So.
Hurts, but he got pulled up.
Yeah, well, I think he was like 10 last year. I feel like he was still going pretty high because of his rushing floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like we haven't had that just out of nowhere quarterback really finish in that high tier. So, all right, so let's head over to the quarterback tier two. The other quarterbacks I expect to have QB1 performances with these or have had it before. And this tier includes Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Matthew Stafford here. So again, first question as always, does someone belong in this tier that I'm missing, or does someone in this tier not belong in this tier?
If I was doing it, I would have had the last two probably in this tier, but I kind of like it how it is, to be honest.
You can argue that Trey Lance belongs here. But I get it. I get it. It's super risky with him, but there's a lot of stats out there where, like, you know, if we're projecting the amount of rushing yards or you know, the amount of rushing attempts from Lance that we are, and most people are, that there hasn't – I forget who threw it out on Twitter, and I wish I, like, tagged it knowing I was coming on the show, but I didn't. It was like if you – you know, if you're projecting as many rushing attempts from him as we are, then there hasn't been a quarterback that's had that many rushing attempts not finish inside the top 10, like, ever. So it's like, I mean, the floor is there for him big time. So that's why I would say, like, Lance, I think easily could jump into this category. I actually have, like I said, Hurts was the one who I think it was probably obvious who I was talking about before. But Hurts was the one that you could argue if you had that top six, like you did before, that maybe he belongs up there with them. But that's why I would have pulled Burrow and Murray down just slightly into this tier instead.
No, I like it. I like that. I like thought process on that. I do. You know, I'd probably argue a little bit with Trey Lance, but we'll talk about Trey Lance in a little bit. All right. So, all right, let's talk about the first question in this tier. Hey, Kyle, I forgot to mention that before. Kyle, how are you, brother? Thanks for joining in, of course, as always. Let's see here. First question goes back to Dak Prescott. We really haven't talked about Dak personally. We've always talked about the talent around Dak and how, you know, either you like it or you don't like it, but you know, with no Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup's, you know, we don't know exactly when he's going to actually start playing on the field. It could be week one. It could be a few weeks in. We don't know. The running backs are aging, or a lot of split work. CeeDee Lamb has a foot injury now, but he's fine. How do you guys feel about Dak Prescott? Does he continue to produce, or do the few weapons scare you?
For me, I think the fewer weapons do scare me, but I know Dak has gotten better as a pocket passer as the years progress. So you're not seeing as much rushing volume from him. I know like the touchdowns, he scored 6 3 years in a row, but we really didn't see that much from last year in that department either. So if he's not making that, it's going to be, I think with the lack of weapons, it's going to be hard for him to get like 4,600 yards, which he had last year. So, I still think he's going to finish as a QB1 within the range, but I don't think he has the upside to be cracking that top. I'll say top 7 for me this year.
Yeah. I agree with both of what you said about, especially about him not finishing like top 7. I've actually got him around 10 right now. So I do have him down, but he's still in this tier. He's at the bottom half of the tier. I do think actually we see him run a little bit more than we saw last year. One, I think the lack of weapons will lead to that, but we saw him kind of start going a little bit more at the end of last year. Like once he was farther away from the injury, he did start feeling more comfortable. But I have all the belief in CeeDee Lamb in the world. Like that kid's amazing. Dalton Schultz is still going to be a really good tight end for him. They just got to get healthy somewhere else in the receiving core. Like they've almost got nothing after this, you know, because what they did have got hurt, and we all knew Gallup was hard to begin with. But he's got two phenomenal pass catching running backs as well. So like you can't discount that too. So I think he'll get his. He's like a safe QB1, you know, at this point. You know you're going to get what from Dak. It's not going to be, you know, what you could potentially get from like Jalen Hurts when he has his like complete blow up games. But the problem with Jalen Hurts, right, is you're also going to get those games where Jalen Hurts throws 3 interceptions and 0 rushing touchdowns. And then what do? To where Dak is like, ho hum, I'll get you, you know, 18 points that week, to where Hurts gives you 10. And then you're like, well, really wish I'd had Dak this week. You know, like that's where Dak helps you. He's safer.
Joe, I'm an Eagles fan, so I'll tell you, Jalen Hurts last year, and I had him on plenty enough teams, it was 8-9 points in the third quarter, and then 24 by the fourth quarter.
Oh, no, I had him all the time, yeah. I had him everywhere last year, but, you know, now you're drafting him for that, to where last year we got him, like, almost for free.
Oh, yeah. You know,
so that was like money in the bank, man. I was like, yeah, thanks, guys. But this year you got to pay for it because people know what to expect. But he did have a few of those games where, like, man, he does that like weird scramble move, and then he just like chucks it back to the middle of the field. You're like, no, and you're like, that's getting picked off. And yep, it did. Like, get rid of those, man. But yeah, I mean, he gets hits because of his legs, but you know, he is still that type of quarterback where he's like a big cherry bomb, man. Like you never know when it's just gonna blow up in your face.
That is true. That is true. But I like your guys' take on Dak in a whole there. You know, I have my slight concerns personally. I mean, he played well last year. And to me, what it comes down to at the end of the day is the offensive line. And the offensive line did lose pieces. They didn't really gain anyone to really, you know, bring that offensive line back to what we saw a few years ago. I know that, you know, Tyron Smith should be coming back and healthy. But the offensive line is a little different here. And that's what concerns me a little bit, especially with the weapons early on are very young and inexperienced as, you know, starting caliber wide receivers. So I think maybe early on Dak could struggle. I think throughout the season, you should be pretty fine with him. I think Joe, like you said, like, you know, you get 18 fantasy points from him. You're not mad. You're not super impressed overall. You wish you had probably could have more. That's my only concern with Dak. I mean, if he starts playing some certain teams, and there's times where he kind of just plays mediocre, and that's my one concern. But the 37 touchdowns, I feel like that might come down a little bit. I think he's probably better projected, probably 30 this year, personally. But we'll see what happens here. I mean, he's got, you know, the NFC East there. Overall, they're a pretty division where they're, you never know what's going to happen there. Any moment they could throw, it could be a high scoring game in that division there. So for me, Dax concerns me a little, but he should still be pretty solid. If you wait for a quarterback, he's probably someone you can get in round, you know, 8, 9, or 10, whatever. So, All right. So let's go over to the next question here. Are we expecting Russ to actually cook? You know, we've had this, you know, everyone's wanted Russ to just cook. And we've seen over the last few seasons flashes of Russ cooking. And you could say maybe his talents dropped a little bit in the receiving game slightly, maybe. But do you guys really expect him to actually like take another step? Is there another step, or are we just expecting what we expect out of him always?
I think there's another step to his level this year. I know he had great weapons in Seattle, but still he had offensive line woes. I probably think the Broncos offensive line is a tad better than what he was dealing with in Seattle. So I think that's a good step in the right direction. And I think Josh McDaniels would probably be a little bit more open to him throwing rather than Pete Carroll just kind of doing the prehistoric run game first kind of style. So I like what I'm seeing out there. And like Russ is a guy who's been like around like 500 attempts. And that was like when we were playing 16 games. So I think if he could get that up to 550s, I think we could see some good opportunity and production for him.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think the best we're going to get from Russ is probably what we saw in, you know, like a couple of years ago, right? Where, you know, he threw, you know, 30, 40 touchdowns, right? And, you know, in consecutive years back, you know, the rushing is really not there for him anymore. I don't think that's his game. You don't want it to be anymore. The dude's going to get hurt at some point if he keeps trying to do that. But yeah, you got it right. I mean, the offensive line is phenomenally better than what it was. I mean, God, how many times was he just back there and just like running around, you know, picking with his head cut off, man. Just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. And it just somehow he made it work. But he also took a lot of sacks every single year. I mean, I'm looking at his sack total, 44, 42, 45. I mean, keep going on. It actually goes up 51, 47. Last year was 33 and he missed a couple of games. Like, not good. So just get him protection. And you know, you could say, like, you know, as much as there's a lot of people saying that, like, you know, the improved running game in Denver might actually hurt him as far as fit. I actually think it helps him because it's more protection for him. Like, yeah, Seattle always had a good running game, and of course, you know, Marshawn Lynch was there in the beginning, but like these last few years, like, the running game was decent, I guess, but like nobody was like truly scared of it. They just had a good system there too. Denver's got two really, really good running backs. And I mean, if Judy can get right, I mean, two really good receivers now in Sutton and Judy. So I think we may not see like him take a step over what we've seen in his best seasons. But if he can get back to that, I kind of expect it. And it, you know, honestly, not surprising at all. And nobody should be surprised.
All right. I love that. Yeah, because that's kind of one of the bring up is that I wouldn't expect Ross to do something that we've never seen him to do, but I expect him to be what we've seen out of him over the years. Someone who can, I think, maybe get closer to that 2020 season where he threw for, I think it was like, hold on, what was it for?
40 touchdowns.
40 touchdowns, 4,200 yards. I could see him getting close to 45 and 40 again this coming season here. Back to then when, you know, last couple of years before that, he was like, you know, 35, 34, 31. You could see that 40 being maybe a consistent thing over the years, but don't expect him to do something bigger than that. You know, that's why I don't expect him. Like, wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be a little surprised if he somehow ended up in the top five at the end of the season. But
yeah,
it's my thought process on it. So, all right, let's head over to the next tier of quarterbacks here. The tier three quarterbacks, QB one upside with some risk. I feel like all these players have some kind of question mark to their game to some extent here. Aaron Rodgers, Trey Lance, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr. How do you guys feel about this tier? Should there be someone in it that I'm missing? Should there be someone not? Should one of these guys not be in it?
Probably Lance.
No, no, my opinion. I bump Trey Lance up because of the rushing floor. I really do think that's going to be a huge difference maker. I completely agree with all of the passing concern problems, but we had those with Jalen Hurts last year. And look what he did. And sorry, Jibs. Trey Lance is probably a better runner and better thrower than Hurts, in my opinion. Like, Trey Lance can sling that ball, dude. He's just, we haven't seen him yet, so, like, the risk is there, right?
That's true.
But wow. I think he's got all the tools to be able to do it. But he's got a good team. I mean, Debo's there as much as we want, you know, crap on Ayuk. Sometimes Ayuk's talented. The running game is legit there always, even though they've got a bunch of like nobodies, it feels like. So I don't know. I like Lance a little more.
Okay. I can't really hate on that. I'm just off those North Dakota State quarterbacks, I guess they'll say. But I'm trying to get me Lance everywhere. hold up 1 second. I think you got the list pretty darn right. Like, I think Rodgers, like, if he had Adams still, like, he'd probably be a tier higher, but we're kind of off that boat now. So, like, they all have some upside to a degree.
Right. Yeah. I think that leads into my first question with this group here is Aaron Rodgers. You've always known Aaron Rodgers to be a really good quarterback for fantasy. I mean, there's been a few years here and there, obviously, where he's kind of underperformed, but he's over the last few years, I mean, he's just been top notch. But now you don't have that elite wide receiver. Now you have guys who are past their primes or guys who really just really hadn't stepped up yet or just inexperienced rookies right now. Are you guys comfortable with, you know, with Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback this year, like no matter what? Or does the fewer, like, does the weapons not being there scare you guys?
Honestly, it does scare me. I'm a little worried. I don't know. I get it. Like, I'll take him if he falls like in that range, and that's where I'm taking my first quarterback. I've always made sure I've got other plans before it gets to that point. Because I don't want to have to make that decision on Rodgers. Come on, just think about this a couple years ago, right? We were talking, like, is he done? I mean, look, 3 years in a row, 16 touchdowns, 25 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns. Great. The 16, he played, like, half a season, so whatever. But, you know, then he comes back and just is like, you know what, I'm just going to throw to Devontae Adams every other play, and it worked. Now he doesn't have that. I know there's lots of games where he didn't have Adams, but we're talking, like, a small sample size of games without Adams, and he performed really, really well. I don't know if he can do that consistently over a full season with a bunch of rookies, a washed up Cobb, and Adam and Lazard, you know? I don't know if it's gonna work. I'm kinda worried we get a pretty big drop for Rodgers standards as far as quarterback play.
Yes. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm worried to a degree too, and I think he'll kind of utilize running backs more and all that stuff. Like, regardless, like, he was a two-time MVP. I know what I'm going to get. Like, he's ranked the 13th quarterback on Fantasy Pros. His ADP is the 10th quarterback taken off the board. So I think 10 is probably adequately priced right, but, like, I kind of want to get a little bit return on my investment. So I'll definitely wait a round or two to get him later. But still, like, I think the only thing Rodgers will kind of have, like, going for him is just, like, his – I know he was basically hyper-targeting Devontae Adams in the red zone, but still he's shown a good track record in the red zone, and maybe he could capitalize on the touchdowns with the lack of weapons. But I don't think he's going to be scoring 40 touchdowns by all means either.
I think you guys make some great points about Rodgers. The touchdowns is what scares me the most. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe mentioned a couple of years ago, they were down in 2018 and 2019. He only had 25 and 26. Somehow he still finished, you know, on top in terms of quarterbacks. But, you know, the quarterback position has changed over the last few years now, where all these rushing quarterbacks, and there's been a lot more great quarterbacks over the years. You know, they're going to push up a lot, push Rodgers down because of that. And if you look at those two seasons there where he had, you know, 25 and 26 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's what, 40, 50 touchdowns right there. About 25 of them were at Devontae Adams over that 2 year span. So it's kind of hard to say that, you know, he's just going to somehow continue to have those 40 touchdowns. I mean, who is it going to? Is it really, are we really going to see Aaron Jones get 6 or 7 rushing receiving touchdowns? AJ Dillon getting that amount too, or something like that? It seems very hard to believe that they're going to continually do that all season long. I think Rodgers goes from that 40 back down to maybe 30, 28, and I think people might be surprised and disappointed by Rodgers throughout the season as not a always consistent quarterback as we want him to be, as he's shown us the last few seasons now. So,
yeah. And, you know, another point to that, right, is you're right. He's been touchdown heavy, right? And so that's really carried his value. We mentioned this, which is why he's not in that top tier with those other rushing quarterbacks. His passing yards aren't like eye-popping either anymore. I mean, how many times have we looked at his stat line? You're like, oh, yeah, cool, they win, and Rodgers threw for 3 touchdowns. Damn, 178 passing yards. What? Like, you knocked 3 touchdowns, even down to 2, if suddenly down to 1, that's a really bad fantasy week for him. Like, and I have a feeling we might get those quite a bit.
Only 4 games he threw over 300 yards last year.
Yeah, he's just super efficient, and his touchdown ratio is out of this world good, and has been for the last 2 years. he doesn't have that big target anymore. I don't know how he's going to keep that up.
Yeah, and the interceptions have been low too, which is
awesome. Yes, and I still think that could still be low. I you know, maybe not four, but I still think there is something to, you know, he's just a smart quarterback. He knows when to throw it away, but the touchdowns just aren't going to be there like that. He doesn't have those, like, you know, he had a couple like really eye popping weeks last week against Minnesota and, you know, Chicago. He loves to just embarrass his own division. So maybe he'll at least get those. But, you know, where he threw over 304 touchdowns. Yeah, he just had a lot of meh weeks when it comes to the yardage.
Right. I respect it. Our boy Kyle said that he thinks that Stafford should be in this chair. How do you guys feel about that? Or should he be in the tier above where he was?
I can buy Stafford being in this one. I honestly can put Stafford and Wilson in this tier and Bob Lanza. Just that's the way I would do it. But it's funny, like these last two tiers, like you can jumble up like the bottom half and the top half, and they're all, it's gonna be like that all season long, honestly. Just pick your poison. Like, who do you want to ride with? Like you know, it's kind of who you like. They're all going to be fine in the long run, you know?
I can see Stafford being in this tier. Like, worst comes to worst, you think he's going to regress from his passing totals from last year and not have, be a 5,000-yard passer and a high 40-plus touchdown scorer. So, like, I could see that. Kyle makes a good point.
Nice point to bring up, Kyle. All right, let's continue with the questions in this tier here. Can Kirk Cousins, you know, he's got like a really great weapon core around him. He has an offense now that wants to be more that pass-happy offense. There's, you know, as we've been hearing, you know, is there any weird realistic possibility that he can finish in top five? Or is the rushing just not there that really just gives him no shot at that?
I'm not buying top five.
4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns. 4,545. You know, can that get him there? Or is it just...
Yeah, I mean, it could. I don't know if I see that quite out of him. I know new offense, and we all love Justin Jefferson, you know, but there is still a little bit, it's still Kirk Cousins, you know what I mean? Like, he still has those moments in games where you're just kind of like, dude, what the hell was that? Like, oh, yeah. Come on, man. Like, it's always like late in like crunch time. He'll like have one good game, then, you know, in crunch time a season, and you're like, oh, all right, cool. No. Do I see his numbers going up? Yeah, I do like him as a quarterback in this range, but he belongs here. He'll probably finish QB11 like he always does, it feels like, but he's just sort of a ho-hum guy to me.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, if Kirk Cousins had like 45 passing touchdowns and the same yardage as Stafford did around, we'll say 4,700 yards or 4,500 yards, I think he could do it because he doesn't throw as many, even though he does have these bum-ass moments, he doesn't throw like crazy interceptions like Stafford does when he just has four touchdowns and three picks consecutively. So we'll see, but I don't think so. I think upside maybe top 7-8, but 5 no.
All right. I just had to throw it out there. I don't think so either, but you guys made a lot of answers already for that one. So, all right, final question this tier. Joe's going to love it, obviously, because it's about Trey Lance here. What is a realistic expectation for Trey Lance this coming season here? We can all say that, oh, he could be the number one quarterback. We could say he could be in the doghouse and just be shit. What's a realistic expectation for him this coming season?
I think
this is the quarterback that is going the latest that you probably have a good shot to get it.
Yes. Yes. Early on, it, you know, Hurts was right in the territory with him, but he's been creeping up, so he's no longer there. But Trey Lance to me is a guy who I think you can realistically expect a top five season out of, just from rushing, you know, being there for that. And he's just got amazing playmakers when it comes to Debo, get him the ball in space and the dude's going to make yards after catch. Like, you know, you saw it time and time again last year. I really think that, but also the floor for him is also like back in QB too. If he just totally flops something. So it is scary for him. I do think we are going to see a lot of rushing attempts out of him that like, up there with the Lamar Jackson's range type of rushing attempts. So you get that kind of floor. I think you're seeing top five upside easy.
James?
I agree. Five, six. He could be number one if everything goes right for him, but it's football, so you know some things do go awry. And like we saw in limited action, the guy would score like 20 points in like a half, and would he get injured or pulled? I don't remember, but he has all the tools to do it. It's just him being healthy for me, but I'm definitely going to be targeting this guy late in the rounds of drafts. I guess a little bit earlier now, just to get that assurance. Because I think like if everything goes right, like I know like you said he's better than Jalen Hurts, but I could see a season like that. Jalen Hurts was flirting with like QB1 number, like top five QB statistics the whole season until he got hampered up, missed a couple games, and then he ended up maybe 5-7, depending on what kind of format you're playing. So I could see that kind of season for Trey Lance. Like, I don't think it's going to be 30-point weeks every week or 25-point weeks, but I think there's going to be some low weeks, and you're going to have to take your slings and arrows, but I think it's going to be all worth that season in.
Yeah. I mean, you guys make a lot of great points. Again, I'm not the highest on Trey Lance. Realistically, could he finish where Jalen Hurts finished last year at QB8? I think that is a pretty realistic situation based, like Joe said, on his rushing floor. It's just that much potential to it that it's just hard not to put him in that top 10. But the passing does scare me a ton here. I don't really see him as a great passer overall, but neither was Jalen Hurts last year. So now we're drafting Jalen Hurts as a top, you know, eight quarterback now. So it just comes down to the rushing. If he can continue to have that rushing ability to his game there, there's no doubt that he probably pretty easily can finish at least QB8. Could it be higher? Absolutely. Could it be worse? Absolutely. It's the risk you take with him taking him where you're taking him. Hopefully you can get him not past round eight, at least. If round eight, round nine, round 10 again, still, that'd be perfect. If he goes above that, I'm probably personally off of him, but we'll see what happens this year. He's got a lot of potential. Like I said, the rushing is great, but the passing, especially with the accuracy, it still scares me a ton. So, all right. So let's head over to the quarterback tier number four. And this has my boy Tua, of course, Matt Ryan, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Ryan Tannehill, and Jameis Winston. These guys can be difficult to consider as starting quarterbacks for your team, but are probably all pretty solid QB2s in at least super flex leagues here. So someone belong, not belong in this tier?
I think you got this one about right. It's probably like one other guy that I could have thrown in here, but it's kind of whatever at this point. Man, these are all like, you're taking a stab at, you know, you either waited way too long, or, you know, these are your QB2s or your super flex quarterbacks or whatever. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. It's kind of, you're taking a chance on these guys and hoping they kind of pan out. In my opinion, like,
maybe I'll, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, you know, when I get to this range, you know, I kind of go for upside. If I've got to use one of them, I'll go back for Tua, who I kind of have high hopes for this year as well, or you know, Fields because of the rushing, or, you know, maybe Trevor Lawrence actually like has an actual NFL coach now helping him, so he doesn't look like a complete bum. Those are the guys I go after. I'm not really interested in the other ones as much.
Yeah, I think it's rock solid. I don't know if like I'm giving like slight maybe consideration to Mayfield if he could keep the job this season long, just because he has a start nod. But other than that, like, good to go with me.
All right. So let's get into the first question this tier here. Which of these year two quarterbacks do you guys believe makes the biggest jump?
I'm going with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I agree.
Any particular reason?
Yeah, just like what Joe said, like Doug Peterson's a confident coach. He doesn't have that circus they were doing last year. They went and paid Christian Kirk. They got some offensive weapons. They just got so much offensive talent. Like, they gave him a stockpile of stuff. It's not like the A goods. So they kind of shopped at the Dollar Tree store goods for like their stuff, but they still have some talent around there. And then you look at their Justin Fields and the Bears. Like, that offensive line is horrendous. Like, know he has, there's a lot of fantasy options that we're drafting way higher than the Jaguars pieces that are more fantasy relevant in our eyes, but still, like, I just find it hard for him to make up production. And hopefully just doesn't get killed out there. I just think like Trevor Lawrence just has like a step forward in my opinion.
I feel bad for
number one pick last year.
Some fields, I really do. I feel
they're not doing anything.
I totally get the arguments for Fields, but you can't do it with that offense around him. It's just abysmal. Trevor Lawrence is the guy who, though, yes. that's funny. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is the guy who has that potential to really make a big leap, in my opinion. Everything you said, James. I mean, like, the guy was one of the top rated passers coming out of college, you know, for a reason. Like, one of the best prospects coming out of college for a reason. So I think he's got all the skills in the world. Now he gets ETN and back. You know, they did up bolster the offensive line a little bit. They got Christian Kirk. Yeah. They might have overpaid for that, but it helps, you know, it all helps. So I think he's going to look a lot better this year.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue overall. I mean, which quarterback takes that next leap? It has to be Trevor Lawrence here overall. I mean, he just has the overall best probably receiving talent, and he's probably the best quarterback that came out of that draft last year still. And we'll see how that. I mean, we'll still see the tables still open on a lot of these guys here. But I mean, what I saw in preseason so far, it looked pretty good. No preseason, not going to take it with that much grain of salt, but he did look pretty good in preseason so far. So hopefully that can kind of translate to the season here. He has that rushing floor too, which is always good to have for fantasy. So we'll see. All right. Final question in this tier here. This is more about the more older vets that are in this tier here. They're Matt Ryan, the Ryan Tannehill, and Jameis Winston. In terms of, I guess, super flex is your quarterback too. Which one would you prefer the most?
I literally
Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill.
Whoever I could get latest.
You don't have
to. Yeah, there's the best answer. I love it.
What'd you say, Jibs?
Whoever I could get latest. But I guess I'm more inclined to Jameis Winston and Matt Ryan in particular to Ryan Tannehill. Because he just got the shaft into the stick. So they're just going to be pounding the rock with Derrick Henry and whatnot. But I love Jameis Winston's weapons. It's just the fact, can he stay healthy? Like, I feel like he's looked bright like the last couple of years and just can't like keep it all together. And Matt Ryan, hey, man, like, sure, you're in a better situation. You've got some great talent around you as well. But I'm just tired of offensive numbers.
Line.
It's just like Matt Ryan's like 18. 4 points for passing touchdown points every week, and it's just like, if that's your like upside, if you want a nice little floor, that's fine, but I'd rather have the last person I could get and probably Jameis Winston for upside.
Yeah,
all right, you guys make a great point.
I think that's pretty much it. You got it. That's pretty much it.
It's an easy question. It's got to be Winston for the upside. I do like Matt Ryan still. I probably would be targeting Matt Ryan more than not. I like him in that Colts offense there. I'm expecting a solid season out of him with Pittman and Pierce and Campbell and obviously Jonathan Taylor in the run game. And so, but I think Winston has the more upside. I think Matt Ryan is probably the safer bet.
Yeah.
Tannehill is just a wild card that who knows what's going to happen. Feels bad just thinking about having Tannehill as my QB2, but and it's been a long time. It's been like only a year or two since Ryan Tannehill was like QB8 a couple years in a row.
Yeah.
Been a long time since then, guys. Now,
yeah, it feels like, yeah. I mean, the one thing too about Matt Ryan, he's probably got like his best offensive line in
years.
That's true. So, as a guy who can't really move, that's gold.
it's big helpfulness. All right, so let's go over to QB tier number 5 here. This is, like I said, at this point, we're talking more as like a super flex because you're not really starting any of these players at all. So this is the potential QB2s, the solid QB2s, or whatever you want to call them here. The Zach Wilson, the Baker Mayfield, the Carson Wentz, the Daniel Jones, Davis Mills, Jared Goff, And I do Deshaun Watson here because I don't really know what point you take him. Maybe you just don't take him at all and see what happens. Probably don't draft him. In reality, you don't draft him. But in Superflex, you might draft him at this point now because his talent for five games might outweigh whatever is left on this board here. So does someone belong, not belong? Does it even matter?
No, it doesn't.
Call me crazy. I like Davis Mills.
Yes.
Yes.
The passing volume alone, I don't care what rookie running back we're talking about for Houston is looking good in preseason. Davis Mills is going to have to throw the ball 45 times a game because they're going to be behind by 20 points in the first quarter. Just like last year. That's why we all like Brandon Cooks. Why we like Davis Mills. I mean, blanket on the quarterback, the Jags quarterback years ago. To be like negative points for the first three quarters, and then like you look up and be like, wait, do I have 20 points for my quarterback? Huh, all right. Because he had to throw 400 times in the fourth quarter. That's Davis Mills. It's not going to look pretty, but it's going to work. He's not going to be quite that good. But, you know, as a QB2, I love getting him, especially where he's going. He's going really late.
Oh, yeah. Bottom feeder right there. Love me some Mills too. Other than that, like the only person that I'll kind of bat an eye to would be Baker Mayfield in this range. Obviously, it depends what format. If you're playing Dynasty, I'll take some of the younger guys ahead. But I just think he has another opportunity. We've seen what he did in Cleveland. Similar situation, great running backs, one good wide receiver and whatnot. So I'm skeptical. Don't call me crazy, but hey, it's just late in drafts. Anything can work.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, this tier is mostly you choose to really wait on your QB2 and Superflex leagues. It's not a great tier, but there's some potential there. I think we all can agree that our first question is, you know, who has the most upside? Are we saying it's Davis Mills in this offense here outside of Watson? But, you know, we really can't include him because he's definitely not playing 11 games. He's not playing at least 12 games this year, so, or 11. Does anyone else have more upside than Mills? Is it Mills the answer?
Wilson as well. And if freaking Brian Daboll could get Daniel Jones together, call me crazy. I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm just.
I was saying, you're an Eagles fan. What are you doing?
I don't want to do it, but he has a tool.
The co-owner from my site is a Giants fan. There's a saying that me and my co-host have on our we say suck at Keith because he's a Giants fan, so every time we talk about the Giants we say suck at Keith, so yeah, just got to bring it over to another show. Nah, dude, I can't do it anymore with Daniel Jones. I'm sorry, it's just not gonna no
he won't be starting.
I'll believe it when I see it. I just
okay, Tyrod Taylor, I'll change my answer.
Yeah, hey, go Hokies, man. There we go, man. Go Hokies.
I'm still waiting for the Jimmy G trade to the Giants, the fake one that happened a couple weeks ago. All right. Yeah, so, I mean, there's not a lot of hitters. For me, it's Mills, too. Personally, it's me, it's Mills. So. All right. So one guy I want to talk about real quick, Jared Goff. Jared Goff has an improved receiving core. He's got St. Brown. He's got Shark. He's got Williams at some point this season here. He's got T.J. Hockenson. He has one of the best pass-catching running backs in DeAndre Swift here. He's got arguably one of the best lines of football that no one talks about ever. Is there a case that Jared Goff could kind of get back on track where he ends up maybe at the top of the tier above this tier here? Can you make a case for that, or is it just no case? It's this tier four case. Can he get back? But could he actually end up better than half these guys here? All the ingredients are in the kitchen, and he just needs to make it.
I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it either. He's too erratic. They're gonna lean on the running game a lot. I know they brought in more weapons, but I mean, who knows if Jameson Williams is, you know, when he's actually gonna play? You know, I know we love St. Brown and Hawk, but I mean, you're really talking about St. Brown, Hawk, and then like two pass catching running backs. I mean, like, that's not a recipe to like dominate in the passing game. So, you know, this is a he'll have some games. He did last year, but it's not enough.
Yeah, three games as QB1.
Right.
All right. I wanted to throw it out there because, you know, I wouldn't be overly surprised if that were to happen. I think there's a situation there that could work out for him. But again, it's very minimal. But, you know, he's got the ingredients. He's just not a good chef. So.
No, he's not.
Throw more, and obviously has to score more touchdowns. Like, if he doesn't get that, he can't get in that group.
Right. And we're talking about guys who, like, you know, the guy, you know, we've talked a lot on, you know, guys protecting the ball earlier on in the show. He's not one of those. Like, he just throws it, and it's just kind of like, where the hell is that going? And it's just, it makes no sense. He throws into coverage a lot, and it's just not good, so...
Did only have 8 interceptions last year.
But he only 19 touchdowns, so not better than Taylor Jones. I take what Lex.
I love it.
Definitely was better than Daniel Jones.
Oh God, I love it. All right, let's head over to the final tier of the night. This is literally even worse. This is literally just Superflex and your bench players at this point here. But we have to mention them real quick just because
the waiver wire.
Some people play.
Just have the teams.
That's how bad the bottom feeders of the tier are. And it's obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks, the Falcons quarterbacks, the Seattle quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett, because he's going to play 11 games as of right now. And, of course, maybe Jimmy G ends up on a team before the season or midway through the season this year. So, I'm not going to ask you who belongs and don't belong because it's not even worth it. So, is there a dart throw in this group here in Superflex that you wouldn't mind having as your third quarterback? That's the question.
Gino.
Superflex matters. Lock. It matters. People play.
I'm Jacoby. No job, Jimmy G. I'm taking Mariota. As bad as it sounds.
So if you could, like, double up the quarterbacks for the Steelers, that might be the one I go after. If you could, like, take them as your QB3, so you had to take 4 in a QB2 or a Superflex league. It's got to be deep enough to do that, right? That'd be okay, because the weapons are there for that to happen. It's just, you know... Like, Trubisky's not going to be in there all year. At least we don't think so. So eventually they're going to turn to Pickett. So if you could get both of those guys to pair, I mean, Deontay Johnson, Pickens is looking real nice. Claypool's there. Obviously Harris. I mean, Freiermuth, like, that's a solid weapon core. Like, it can't be that bad, right?
Trying to think of a bad quarterback in a good situation last year.
Oh, God. Not many.
No. Jibs.
Well, Big Ben.
Oh, yeah, Big Ben.
I mean, we're talking about the Steelers.
Who was that last year? What did he finish? Big Ben finished QB 21.
So there you go.
Okay.
Third QB. Can't be much worse than Mr. Dump-Off, Big Ben last year, right? I mean, that's all he did.
Hey, so. Well, Matt Ryan finished QB 20, so I'm taking the better guy in that instance. Just kidding.
Jimmy G finished QB 18. I mean, I guess
we don't even know where he's going, though. Like, he might not have a job, so who knows?
Subway commercials, baby.
Jim, any mention here?
No, I guess to the aspect of a team QB, I would take the Steelers, and then you'll probably want to give some shout-out to Seattle, too. But as we mentioned before, like, their offensive line isn't that great either, so I kind of find it hard. Geno Smith and or Drew Lock make an impact. Season long, so this is just bad. This is spaghetti on your wall.
Yeah. I'd maybe throw a shot at the Falcons, the rushing ability of both Mariota and Ritter.
Yeah.
But again, we just wanted to mention these guys because some of y'all play Superflex and you need to know a little bit about how these are broken down in that terms. Usually the first 3 rounds, maybe in that round 4 a little bit, that's your single quarterback time frame of you're actually drafting. The rest of it is for you guys who do play Superflex. So, but yeah, that's gonna wrap us up these bottom feeders here, guys. There's nothing else to really say about them, but I do like the Falcons just for their rushing ability overall. You probably
can see that
latest me possibly if you're drafting that deep or if you're looking off your waivers. So, but yeah, that's gonna wrap us up today, guys. That is our QB tiers. episode here for you. Joe, man, you were a great guest to have on. A lot of great hitting advice for us. Love that. If there's anything you want to mention, anything you guys got going on over there, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the big thing we're pushing this year is the access to us directly via our Discord, and then obviously all the great content that comes behind it, including our weekly rankings and stuff, which you know, I have finished in the top five twice on Fantasy Pros doing that. So you know, get in on that. fantasysixpack.net/plans and check it out.
Now I have someone else I need to compete with.
Competition.
I love it. No, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a good time.
Hey, absolutely. Yes, sir, appreciate it. Jibs, anything you want to mention?
No, sir. Let's end this bad boy. Let's get Joe out.
All right. So, guys, I appreciate you guys for listening in tonight. As always, please go check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. We have all of our articles, you know, episodes. The Dynasty Coaches are up there. My Insider Statistical Playbook is up there. It's really cool. Hopefully it's fixing it up right now, but it should be done in the next day or two. As always, please go to our Twitter at Coaches Fantasy for all of our updates. You got going twice a week now, guys. We'll be back on Thursday to talk about the tight ends, and then we'll be twice a week throughout the season for you guys. So we appreciate you again for listening in. Tune in until next time, guys, and have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act internacting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, go.